This morning we read about a creator who is also our Father. And the Bible passage that I invite you to turn with me to is found in the Psalms, roughly in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 104, a poem that speaks majestically about the handiwork of God. Psalm 104, I'm going to read that entire psalm with us. And then right after that, we're going to read a summary about, a summary about who God is as our Father that comes to us from an old teaching document in the church called the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to read one Lord's Day from that document, and it's a document based on the scriptures that summarizes various aspects of the Bible. This morning we look at how it summarizes God as creator. First we'll read Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went into the valleys to the place that you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the sea monsters which you form to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they're satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they're terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Now I want us to read together from Lord's Day 9. This is that teaching document that summarizes various themes and teachings in the scripture. And we read this morning from a section called Lord's Day 9. And I'm going to read the leader part and we'll read together the answer in response. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth, counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul. Some time ago, I heard a rather cute story about three young boys together on the playground, and they were kind of boasting to each other about how valuable their dads were. The first boy, who was quite certain his dad was most valuable, said, "Do you know that when my dad puts words on a page and sends it out to somebody, every single time he gets $250 just for putting words on a piece of paper?" Well, the second boy said, "That's nothing. Do you know, my dad, he goes to different companies and he gives speeches at those companies telling them things to make them feel better, and every time he gives a speech, he gets $1,000. Wow. Well, the third boy said, "Do you know what my dad does? Every Sunday, he stands in front of a bunch of people, and he just talks for 20 minutes or so, and six people have to stand up and collect all the money he gets." Actually, that money doesn't all go to me, just in case you're wondering. But there is something in every one of us that wants to look up to our Father. There is something in every human heart that wants to look up to their daddy and know that their daddy takes care of them, that their daddy is valuable, that their daddy is someone who's proud of them. The truth is, some of us didn't experience an earthly father like that. Maybe some of us grew up not really knowing our earthly father. Or maybe some of us experienced an earthly father that was harsh and distant. This morning, I want to tell you about our Heavenly Father. I want to tell you about a Heavenly Father who is not only almighty and all-powerful, but also deeply loving. This summary that we read just a few moments ago from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9, says that God is both Almighty God and Faithful Father. And I'd like for us to reflect a little bit on that this morning. We see, firstly, and we read that in Psalm 104, didn't we, that God is truly Almighty. As the one who created all things, this poem can't just begin to describe how powerful and majestic this God is. Out of nothing, Lord's Day 9 says, out of nothing God created the heavens and the earth. You know, that makes me wonder about a possible conversation that two scientists might have, perhaps sometime in the future. Maybe one scientist, a Christian, and the other scientist, an atheist. Perhaps that atheist might say, "You know, now that we have been able to, in the laboratory, create a human cell, now we certainly don't need God anymore. Now in the laboratory, we can bring together all of the elements necessary for a living human cell. Now we have no need for God." Well, I could imagine that Christian scientist saying, "Well, how is it that you're going to create that cell? Well, we'll take some hydrogen and some oxygen and some chlorine, and then what we... Hey, hang on one second. Where did the hydrogen and the oxygen and the chlorine come from? I can imagine that kind of a conversation happening again and again, and the Bible tells us, out of nothing, Almighty God fashioned the heavens and the earth. God is described as overseeing creation, a creation that's like a radiant wardrobe that clothes the majesty and the power of God. The heavens are like a majestic fireworks display. And I can imagine, if you believe, and I think there's good evidence to, if you believe that God maybe began the work of creation with a cosmic bang, I can imagine that that cosmic bang orchestrated by God was not unlike a majestic fireworks display, where in one cosmic explosion, God fills the heavens with lights, stars beyond number. It's that kind of a picture that the psalmist gives us of the God who created the heavens and the earth. He commands the waters to flow in their appropriate channels. In fact, the sea monsters are like minnows in his fishbowl. For the last couple of decades or so, we have seen images from the Hubble Space Telescope on our computer screens, if you care to look at them. We've seen videos of majestic wonders in the distant reaches of outer space. If you were to take a little marble and hold it in your hand and pretend that that was the size of planet Earth, the sun that gives heat and light to our planet would be like the size of a volleyball some 300 feet away. That's almost to the end of the street corner at First Avenue. And if you were to picture the next nearest star, you would have to go the same distance as to the country of China. And that's just one galaxy out of millions upon millions. God, in his majestic power, spreads the heavens out. The universe is like a garment that displays his glory. But that shouldn't surprise us too much, because our God is an infinitely big and majestic God. Not only did he call all the galaxies of the universe into existence, from the rocks on the surface of Mars to the as yet undiscovered planets on the far reaches of the universe, God, we read in the scripture, also created you and me. We are not some cosmic accident. Indeed, the Bible says we were formed in our mother's womb. And the story of Scripture says humankind is like a crowning jewel of God's creation, people that he created out of the dust of the earth to have dominion over the world, to care for it on his behalf. And what he did in each human being, unlike any of the other animal creatures, God in each human being fashioned our minds so that we could ponder the glory of God displayed around us. He fashioned our eyes so that we could see it, and he fashioned our vocal cords so that we could sing about it. And you know, whenever humankind fails to ponder the glory of God, when they refuse to see it, when they refuse to sing about it and testify about the glory of God, then creation itself gets misdirected. Human beings lose their focus and their perspective, and they start searching after other things to find meaning and to find purpose. It's no wonder that a lot of Christians, and I think even those from other religions too, get upset when our young children in school are taught that their origin is nothing more than a cosmic accident. And this morning, I invite all of us to lament that and know that it is not true. God, who created all things, fashioning them out of his own hand, is not only Almighty God, but he is our faithful Father too. God is a Father who the Scripture teaches, and even as we read it in Psalm 104, God is a faithful Father who upholds creation. He didn't simply wind up the planet Earth and the cosmos and set it free to operate on its own. The Bible teaches us in this text and in many others that God upholds and sustains it, that he feeds the animals of the field. He even feeds humankind, causing seed to grow in season. He's the one who orders creation in such a way that it can develop life and flourish. As a faithful father, he cares for all humankind, even when they don't know about it. Even when they believe it's otherwise, God, out of his mercy, sends rain and sun in their season. God, in his mercy, sets up governments and infrastructures within society, and even though they are often misdirected and broken, God is able, through them, to care for people, to care for humanity. God is both almighty and a faithful Father. And this morning, as we consider that, I suspect that for a good number of us, you might simply be saying in your heart, "Of course that's true, Pastor Andrew." Or some of you might be saying, "I'm not so sure that's true." As you consider the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, as you consider the majesty of creation, the world all around us, the universe in its magnificent beauty, ask yourself this morning, just an accident? The faithful Father God comes to all of us this morning. And he doesn't simply ask us to believe that he created the heavens and the earth. He invites us to trust him as a faithful Father. And maybe that's where the rub comes for a good many of us, including myself at times. Will you trust me as faithful Father? Will you walk with me? Will you submit your life to me? Will you hear the invitation that I have announced in history through my own precious Son, Jesus Christ, who walked the face of our planet, who demonstrated his authority over the creation, even as he calmed the wind and the waves, even as he walked on the water, even as he multiplied bread and fish from five loaves of bread and two fish into an abundance to feed thousands, even as my Son exercised authority over creation, will you hear his invitation to trust your Father in heaven? And will you know that invitation comes to all of us this morning? Even as we hear about the life of Jesus, we hear this morning about what he accomplished for us. Because the story in Scripture is that humankind, even though God created all things and provided for them in abundance, humankind in its own rebellion turned away from God. And yet God, out of his love, reached down and again invited us into relationship with him. And he did that most clearly through his Son, Jesus Christ. And not only did he invite us into relationship with him, but he forgave our rebellion And he began a work in history that would turn the rebellion and all of its consequences, turn it once again into the direction that God had intended. Too often in our world, we see how human rebellion leads to pride, leads to violence, leads to selfishness, leads to greed. God entered our world through Jesus Christ, and he said, "If you will turn your hearts to me, you will find forgiveness. You will find new meaning and new purpose. If you turn your life to the Father and hear the voice of the Father through the Son, that is Jesus, you will know forgiveness, you will know purpose, you will know meaning." Jesus at one point said, "Consider the lilies of the field. See how they are clothed with beauty. Not even the greatest king of the ancient Near East, King Solomon, had clothing that was as splendid and as radiant as the lilies of the field." God cares for them. "And look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They are provided by the gracious hand of God." God cares for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. How much more does he not care for you, people that he has made in his own image? The invitation immediately after those words of hopeful promise is simply, "Trust me. Seek my kingdom. Seek my kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you." And the invitation to seek the kingdom of God comes through none other than the Son of God, that is Jesus. "Follow me, submit to me, know my forgiveness and my love. And as you submit to me, you will know the love of my Father in heaven." For some of us, that love might be a kind of love we've never, ever experienced, because maybe we didn't know our earthly fathers. Maybe our earthly fathers were harsh and distant. And maybe the love that we grew up was anything but faithful and nurturing. This morning, Jesus says, "Know the love of my all-powerful and faithful Father. Trust in him, for he knows what is good and right and true." Our God is an almighty creator who is also our Father. Let's pray together. We bow our hearts to you, O God, and thank you for the majesty of creation that has always, from the very beginning, been intended to point us to you, the Creator. Forgive us when we get distracted and give our attention and loyalty to things that cannot give life, that cannot satisfy. Turn our hearts to you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Jesus, for extending the invitation to us, for calling us into relationship with yourself, for taking all of our rebellious ways and, rather than punishing us, giving us forgiveness. We submit ourselves to you and pray that your Holy Spirit will come among each one of us to bring words of encouragement, words of hope, words of forgiveness, and to bring within each of us and our children a spirit of joy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bless you, and we pray all of these things in the strong name of Christ. Amen.